Commission meeting. Appreciate everybody's attendance. If you have any electronic devices, please turn them to silent or off. And if you need to talk, please take it out in the hallway. Because the acoustics here are not that good. You guys haven't noticed that they're really bad. I have a hard time hearing back about four rows, please. So first order of business is a roll call, please.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Christopher?
Here.
Commissioner Taggart?
Excuse.
Okay, and then Supervisor Couch? Not here.
Thank you. The approval summary of proceedings from last month. Is there any discussion, any corrections that need to be made? I didn't see any myself. I will do it pretty closely.
I didn't see it. I'll make a motion to receive and file.
Okay, give me a second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. We have agenda items. Is the next, and the only one that really wasn't cleared up, Nick, was Juana Armenta. As of last Friday, you weren't able to contact her. Were you able to finally contact her at this point?
Commissioner Blackburn, no. We haven't been able to make contact.
Okay. Would we pull that one or just?
Talking about the
correspondence.
I don't know what you would do with it. She had a question about a spay and neuter, and she's been non-responsive.
Okay. So you've tried?
Yes.
Okay. I'll receive
and
file.
Okay, so I make a motion
to receive and file.
I will second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioner may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. No clock. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. And again, this is items not on the agenda. So first row, any public comments? Okay, please step up to the podium if you have any.
Good evening, my name is Ann McBride, MCBRIDE. My address 4047 South Vineland Road in Bakersfield. 93307. Rather than a spay-neuter law, I'm in favor of an incentive program. With a law, you must enforce it. That means hiring potentially dozens of new animal control officers, each of which needs their own truck to drive around looking for homes with dogs and cats that aren't neutered, then issuing tickets with their resulting fines. With an incentive program, think of it like training a dog. Positive reinforcement works. You pay them to spay or neuter their pet. Here's how you would do it. You'd have billboards all over the county advertising the program with a QR code, a phone number, or a link to a web page. A pet owner will download a voucher for the free spay or neuter and shots. You can use this voucher at any vet. All vets will have to pre-register online, entering their bank account information so that they can be reimbursed by the county. All vets will have different fee levels, and that must be accommodated. An appointment is made with the vet by the pet owner. The pet owner gives the code that's on the voucher to the vet when the appointment is made, and the vet goes online to a website and enters the code. After the spay or neuter and shots are complete, the vet registers that information onto the website using the original code. Their bank account is immediately reimbursed for the treatment. When the pet owner picks up the pet, they can go online and, this is key, download a $100 coupon up to their choice of different, multiple different stores, Petco, PetSmart, Walmart, Home Depot, etc. This will be cheaper than enforcing the law. Try this for a year or two, and if this doesn't curb the pet overpopulation, then the law can be enforced. Maybe a combination of the two would work best. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Okay. Anybody else on the first row? And if there's anybody else, the next person they can kind of maybe get prepped and one up to. That way we'll get this a little quicker.
Hi, Cheryl Bethel, 93307. I don't know if, I'm not even sure that it's part of this year, but I know with the spay and neuter, with the county, they offer, for the county residents, you get 4 animals per lifetime. I don't know if that can be changed or if that's something that is part of what we're having here. Because it doesn't seem like a lot, because I've had more people with my own personal dogs that, you know, and I'm only the old dam, but I mean, you know, I'm going to get more dogs of my own. So 4 seems like a limited number, and how to increase that. So, I mean, at least 6, because in a lifetime for somebody living in Exmoor County, 4 just seems like a small number. And then after that, you have to go, you know, 2 of that and pay $800.
Thank you. Next up. Okay, next row, please. Danny? Okay. Stand up here. Fourth row. How about the fifth row? Okay, that's good. Last row, anybody? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the head table. At this time, I'd like to turn the meeting over to our director, Rick Cullen, on staff announcements and his reports, please.
Where is that? Somebody got
Good morning, Commission. Nick Cullen, director of Kern County Animal Services. Just wanted to go over a few prescient points in the director's report. You know, May was a fantastic month for clinic services. We saw a pretty big spike in the amount of people that are attending the vaccination clinics. So we were issued almost 300 baby vaccinations and 365 proper distemper vaccines just in May, 107 microchips. So I just wanted to point that out, that folks are showing up at the clinics. Our staff is, staying. Our clinics are usually, especially the Tuesday night clinics, they're until 6:30 p.m. and they're often staying until 7:30 because there's just so many people. So it's a good thing that people are showing up for the resources that are available. Wanted to touch on, we did 4 spay-neuter clinics in May. We had originally, because June is the end of our fiscal year, June 30th is the end of our fiscal year, so we typically stop any spay-neuter activities in June and July, and then we pick up again in August. But we received a $50,000 donation from one person, and then a $20,000 donation from another person. And that allowed us to schedule additional spay-neuter clinics. So we've had several spay-neuter clinics in June. We have a couple scheduled in July. And without those two individuals, just two people, we would have been able to offer the community more spay-neuter. So by the time July gets wrapped up, that'll probably be 250 animals spay-neuter just because those people stepped up and donated money. So they didn't want their name stated or any real recognition. And one of them actually donated also to the SPCA and also to the City of Bakersfield to similar amounts. So the community definitely cares. I wanted to touch on the spay and neuter report that's in the director's report, specifically that the county budgeted, well, the county appropriated $400,000 for animal services to administer a low-cost, low-income-based spay-neuter program. We exceeded that by $53,000. $453,065 is what we spent so far this fiscal year in spay-neuter. Almost 1,800 dogs, almost 1,900 cats, total 4,237 animals have been provided for the alteration just this fiscal year, and still a couple weeks to go. I also wanted to touch on, if you forward in the director's report over to, page 16 will highlight our commercial animal facilities enforcement. Our permitting person had been off duty for a while. She had an injury. She was back on duty towards the end of May. So she was back out inspecting commercial animal facilities for breeding purposes, for rescue purposes, kennels and boarding facilities as well. She only was able to be up and running again in the last 2 weeks of May, but she's been pretty active in June as well. Statistics are not where we want them to be, clearly. I wanted to bring your attention to page 21. So I'll set the last page. What this is it breaks down just a couple of statistical categories for the animals, for the county animal shelters, boat shelters combined, the Lake Isabella shelter and the Bakersfield shelter. And it's January 1st through June 21st, which is today. And then it shows the data from that same time period every year from 2014 through this year. The only year that skipped is 2020, just because that's an aberration. And our statistics were, minuscule because we were closed for a quarter of the year. But what I wanted to point out is that in 2023, we've received 46% more total dogs than we did last year. In 2023, we received 22% more dogs than 2019. The reason why that's sort of important to point out is a lot of times I gauge our current state of affairs to 2019, because that was the last quote-unquote normal year. That was the last normal year of intake before the pandemic hit and devastated a lot of businesses in our community. It just changed the trends in our community. And just to point out that not only have we received 22% more dogs this year than 2019, to really hit home with it, it's 22% more dogs than 2019, but 87% more puppies. 87% more puppies we received this year. By puppy, I mean under 5 months of age. 87% more puppies we received in the first 6 months of this year, as opposed to 2019. 50% more than last year. But if you look at the data, there's a category that says dogs under 5 months. 2023, again, January 1st through June 21st, we've taken in 1,659 dogs under 5 months. If you go back year over year, you can look at it right now. That's the most dogs under 5 months of age we've taken in at the Kern County Animal Shelter since at least 2014. 2014 is the first year we moved from Mount Vernon over to Fruitvale. Prior to that, we were a couple in the city of Bakersfield, so those excuse the statistics a bit. Even if you go back to last year, 2022, we took in 1,100 young dogs, which was almost as much as we had taken in 2015, but clearly the most we've taken in since 2016. So you can see that trend that we are taking in more total dogs, but what's making up the lion's share of the increase in dogs is puppies. If I'm to point out something positive, we have the support of adopters in the community and the rescue partners that we have has been stronger this year than it has in any year. So if you look at the last two categories, dog adoptions and dogs rescue, 1,666 dogs, this is just dogs. I know cats are a much bigger issue, by the way, than dogs, but dogs are crowding my shelter right now. 1,666 dogs were adopted through mid-year. That's more than we've ever processed in any first 6 months of any year since being at Fruitvale. But we've also seen rescue partners take 1,190 dogs, and that's the most we've ever released to nonprofits since we've been at Fruitvale. So, you know, it's tough right now. Our shelter is beyond capacity isn't the word for it anymore. I don't know what the word for it is, but we're hit hard. The city's hit hard. I did a lot of media a few weeks back. We did a press release. I did every TV station. I did some radio shows to point out that what we are seeing is what's trending state and nationwide. It's more acute here in Kern because our problems with animals have always been acute in Kern. But this is a much bigger problem than we all see here. It's affecting so many organizations across the state and really the nation. But you know, we'll continue to persevere, try to find solutions, try to push more spay neuter options out there for people to fix their pets. Hopefully we'll begin to see a reduction in the amount of young dogs that are coming to us, which would be a welcomed event. That concludes the correct answer.
Do you have a question here?
No, but thank you for preparing that. It's very informative.
Not a question, but just an observation that even though the amount of dogs has just gone sky high, your save rate has also gone up 20%. So that's lacking in that.
Yeah, that is something to point out that's again, that is directly attributable to the rescue partners and the community adopting these animals. Is that if you look at that data, like you pointed out, we've taken in more dogs in the first 6 months than in any year since we moved there, and yet we're saving 20% more of them than we did in 2014. But that is entirely, like I said, because of the support from the rescue partners and the community that adopts the animals.
So the 2023 statistics is just for less than 6 months, but the rest of the statistics are for the full year?
No, the rest of the statistics
for
the
exact period. Okay. So you're comparing apples to apples, okay. Very good.
Well, I see a lot of good things. I like all your promotions that you're doing. I see Petco Gosford. Is Petco Rosedale, are they involved in, are they allowing you to use their property for any activities that you might need?
Yes.
They are? I didn't see the name of those. Okay.
We didn't do an event at Rosedale in May.
Okay, good.
But yes, they have. In general, they've less few events there.
I don't know why there's so many dogs under 5 months. Do you have any idea?
Because there's more dogs being produced in the community.
Because of the lack of spay neuter services over the last year.
It's debatable why there's more dogs being produced in the community, but that's the reason.
That's the reason. 50% more than last year is really unbelievable. But you're doing a lot, you know, you're doing a good job in staying on top of it, I think. I think the numbers show it. So I have no other questions. I'll open it up to the public. Any questions for Director Cullen? First row.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the backyard breeders. Really concerned. I was over at Critters Without Litters about a week and a half ago, and while I was standing in line, I cannot tell you how many people came in with puppies to get them vaccinated, and they were backyard breeders, dragging them around like they're trash, basically. And those people, when they go in, have to register. Can we do something about the backyard breeders?
Yes.
Good, because we are finding dogs everywhere. That we found how many Doberman in 1 week, like there were six found out on Cottonwood Road. Unbelievable. I mean, if this is a people problem, I understand. It's not just you all, and it's us too. It's everybody in this community who needs to come together to tackle this. And whether it means that you give us badges to go up to a door that we know has breeding going on, you know, I'm willing to do that because you don't have enough people. You can't even answer your phones. It's so busy there, I know. So, and I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not chastising you. I'm just saying it like it is because we are constantly trying to find places for these animals.
Okay, thank you. We're open for questions. I'm going to move on to the next table. Anybody else that has a question for Director Call?
About the director's report.
About the director's report. Yes, thank you. I was trying to say that, but that's what I mean. Okay, next table. How about Joan's table? No? We'll call it Joan's table. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, Nick. Don't you think part of the problem, since it was just those 3 years during COVID, so many people got animals, not just from the shelter, but everywhere. They bought animals everywhere, and they overwhelmed our veterinary system. It was so bad that we couldn't get dogs to emergency care. We couldn't get spay-neuter appointments at all. And by the time somebody did get an appointment, the dogs have already had their puppies and produced litters. So don't you think that probably has something to do with so many puppies, with these irresponsible people getting these dogs, not being able to get them spayed or neutered if they did want to? And so now we're seeing the brunt of that coming out with so many extra puppies.
Yeah, I 100% agree that that's absolutely part of what we're seeing. You know, I think with any issue that's this big, that's requiring this many resources to try and solve it, and there are people way smarter than anybody in this room trying to solve this problem, state and nationwide, there's a multitude of factors that have come together to create it. You know, there's some bad actors out there, and they're doing bad things for financial gain. But there's also people that are underserved and under-resourced and would probably do the right thing and have their pets fixed. And maybe they got them during the pandemic and they just don't have the resources to do that. So I 100% agree. I definitely think that the trends we're seeing here locally and beyond definitely have a lot to do with pets that were gotten during that 2020, 2021, 2022 time period.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions in the back row? Okay, I'll bring it back to the front. I need a motion to receive and file the report, please. Thank you very much.
I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Motion passed. Commissioners' announcements or reports. Their own initiative, commissioners may make an announcement or report or report on their own activities. Question for clarification, make an approval to staff or take action. Have staff place a matter of business on a future agenda.
No, I have nothing.
Okay. I know you've got something.
Yeah, I always have.
I know you do.
We had an adoption event last Saturday, and we adopted out 6 kittens. So yay! And of course, they're all fixed. We've done a total of TNRs of 326 in just over a year, and we have pulled 205 kittens out of those colonies, and 50 of them are still in the system in our foster care. So we fix and feral feline is very busy right now. I am like flinging kittens like cars at our adoption event, trying to get them all adopted. I'm down to 4 fosters, so yeah, it's kind of manageable from 7, which I had just a few days ago. So we're doing a lot of really good work and getting as many fixed as possible, and I'm getting a lot of people approaching me said, hey, she must know how to get my cat fixed, and so I'm helping anybody who reaches out to me and wants help. I help them whether they have the money or not. So that's what we're doing.
good work. And I've lost 25 pounds in 3 months. It makes it more energetic to chase after those cats.
I wasn't looking for that kind of data, but you know, I appreciate you volunteering it. My activity outside of everything else, I did meet with my supervisor, David Couch. He knows exactly what's going on here. He's up, and he knows exactly what we're up to. So that was my activity outside of everything else that I do in life. I'm going to move on to old business. There's no staff referrals. Is there an update on the AKC Reunite fundraising efforts, Joan?
We're any day now. Janice has fallen very ill.
She has?
Yes.
I know that she fell or something or broke something. She sent me a text.
Yeah, and it went downhill from there.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But we're waiting. I don't know if they'll contact the BOTC or Nick or both of us, but they said June, July was my understanding for the first one. And we're hoping that Janice is back on her feet and can, because she got probably $10,000 of that first trailer donated.
Right.
Because she has connections that we don't. But BOTC is hoping to get a second one, but it could take us a while again.
And you don't know when the first one's going to be released to us?
They were backlogged. They had one or two ahead of us. I don't know, Nick, has anybody said anything to you about it?
No, it's been quite some time.
I know.
Probably 12 or 14 months since somebody asked me for our logo. So long ago that our logo has changed since then.
Well, you still have time to contact them and send it back in to them. But yeah, that's what Janice had said back in April, is that there were one or two ahead of us and then we were on the list. So
okay,
it's this summer.
Yeah.
Do you happen to know where that one will be placed?
That's up to him.
Okay.
Not at my house.
It's his call.
Once it's here, it's on his shoulders.
It'll probably be near you, Commissioner Geary.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Joan. I'm going to move on to item number 3, status on ordinance subcommittee revisions. Last month, the commission had a motion and voted, and it passed to end public debate on the revisions or going forward with the
ordinance updates.
Yeah, Title 7. And so, and then we also made a motion to have the subcommittee meet as many times as necessary to streamline the language in the ordinance. And I'm happy to say we met twice in the last month. We cleaned it up to the best of our ability, and we have a updated and probably final version that we've got. So, but because this item is on the agenda, I'm gonna open it up for any final last minute, maybe comments on the ordinance, and then we're gonna bring it back to the commission. So first table, do you have any brief comments on it? Okay, we've talked about it a lot. You know, this is the fourth month, right? So, but because it's on the agenda, I have to open it up again. Okay, second table. Third table. Come on up.
Sure. To the microphone?
Please.
Okay.
Hi, Bob Rilling-Smith with the American Kennel Club. I'm in Contra Costa County, downtown here in Kern, but nice to see you all again. I just want to thank Director Collin, whole commission, and specifically Commissioner Christopher for your outreach and everything. Much appreciation. We really appreciate all the revisions, especially concerning puppies that end up being sold with the rabies or anything like that. Was cleanup, that's great. And also, just clarity around the types of violations that would trigger mandatory spay and neuter. One concern we still had is under the penalties section on page 9, I believe, section H. Our only concern is that throughout the documents, it talks about 3 violations over a 36-month period, which would trigger this. My reading of this is that it looks like it's singular, and it's like one violation in this section would trigger it, and it just appears somewhat contradictory. So just if we have maybe a little bit more specificity, more clarity, that it's still in line with the three violations over 36 months, so there's no ambiguity, that was really the last concern that we had. But other than that, we really thank you for your revision, so. If you're looking at section 8,
what you're looking at.
Yeah, section 1, on page 9, on 1 and 2, it says administrative citation, infraction, and it goes on and on. But it just talks about violation, and it doesn't talk about three violations or anything like that. You know, it talks about leash law violations, failure to license the dog, all of that. But it doesn't seem like it necessarily jives with the three violations over 36 months.
That I'm was trying to figure out where you are because I've got this, and this is almost what you're saying.
Yeah, that is what this is. But okay. If you go to section on page 9, uh-huh. letter H, that's what appears to be somewhat contradictory. Because okay. It just doesn't mention three violations. It just says penalties, and it talks about like one violation. It just says like a singular violation. And that's our concern.
Wouldn't the details supersede the conflict that he's having, the details of the actual, I don't even know what number this is.
I can take a stab at it. So I want to be clear that when we talk about the three times in 36 months, what we're referring to is the times when somebody can be denied a unaltered dog license, which is the spay-neuter requirements, section E, number 1, letter B. It says the owner, custodian, applicant, or licensee has on three separate occasions in the previous 36 months been issued a written corrective order for violating a state law, county ordinance, or other municipal provision relating to the care and control of animals. That's a condition when a denial can happen if somebody opts to purchase an unaltered dog license. Okay. When we're talking about penalties, this whole section is only enforceable when a concurrent violation is cited.
Okay.
And so the penalty, if you're cited for a violation, would go to an administrative hearing. And at that point, the administrative hearing officer could determine your guilt or innocence and order you by violation of 7.08.025 to fix your pet.
So on one violation, that could, in theory, then trigger it.
Correct.
So like this past weekend, my dog's leash snapped in half. I mean, she didn't get away because she stood there, but that in theory could trigger my dog being spayed then.
If your dog was unlicensed?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay, on the first violation.
Or if you were not a current permitted commercial animal facility,
okay,
or a breeder.
I mean, just
yes, that
public
could apply to you.
Okay.
Yeah. So it would go to, like I said, you would be cited. An administrative citation, I'm just talking about how it would be applied and enforced. You would be cited an administrative citation. You would have a period of time, just like any other administrative citation, to potentially obtain an unaltered dog license. And then you could go to you could take it to a hearing and then have the hearing officer determine your guilt or innocence. And if the hearing officer determines that you were at fault or you were guilty of whatever violation you were cited for, yes, that could trigger a spay and neuter on first occurrence.
Okay.
For an unlicensed dog.
Got it. Without the first option to even purchase. Like, I mean, in previous meetings, I'm sorry we're over time, but we discussed the lack of public education around people even knowing you need to buy a dog license, that it seems overly harsh that for one violation, for someone who, by all accounts, is a responsible dog owner, a responsible citizen and resident of the county, that they could have their dog spayed or neutered just for that. I get, you know, multiple violations over a period of time and repeat. I get all of that. That makes sense. But it seems, again, a little bit harsh for one violation that, you know, someone's dog that they care very much for and their own personal reasons may not want that dog to be spayed or neutered. That's definitely not something we would support. But again, we appreciate all your work and outreach on this. I know it's a tough issue, but that's our main concern, though, is just that one violation is.
Anything further on that?
From me, no.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you. Okay, same row, anybody else?
some things I wanted to get some clarification on. The definition K, right at the front, on what commercial rental facility is, includes premises or training for a fee to do work, so it looks like any kind of training facilities are lumped into that definition.
So if I could take that.
What?
Was that, I'm sorry, I didn't want to jump in.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, finish.
Okay, so it looks like it's lumping that in, and one of the main reasons for surrendering animals is poor behavior, and so like our club, the Oakton Bakersfield Obedience Training Club, we sponsor all kinds of training events at different parks and stuff. Are we going to be required now to be permitted as a calf? That's the way
Commissioner
that
Blackburn, can I? Okay, so just so we're clear, number K, that language exists now.
Yes.
That hasn't been changed.
Well, this is the opportunity to fix things as well.
So you're asking for an interpretation of the current existing law?
Yeah, because we don't. If you're trying to prevent surrender, that should be something that we fix. So, and most of the times that we've been presented this, we've only been given pages with strikeout on it. We haven't seen the whole thing. You had to go to the website for that. So while I was looking at it, I noticed that, and that's something that should be clarified, I would think. Let's see, I'm going to keep going on. Z3 defines a dog breeder as
Z3.
Mm-hmm. So now we're looking at the state definition. If you have three or more litters a year, now you're a state licensed facility, et cetera, et cetera. But then when we skip back to the change you made, which I think that's a change, 708110. Where you're exempting litters, one litter per year. Now we're getting into inconsistencies because state law is three or more. You're saying one back there exempts you unless you are a commercial animal facility. Can you be a commercial animal facility? Can you even get that permit but based on our zoning ordinances? I haven't run out of time to look at that tonight, but I need to know if that's a by right authorization that where you could actually be allowed to have two litters a year by getting that commercial animal facility permit. Is it people are going to have to get a conditional use permit? What are we stepping into there by not being consistent with state law? You're going to exempt litters from getting that calf. It should be two, or if you have three litters a year, then now you're a state licensed facility. And I don't want to push anybody into being a puppy mill that is pushing out a lot, but we should be consistent. So that's just something I wanted to point out. And then section G2, where we're talking, let's see. So you've modified it so that you don't have to notify anybody until the, or get the license until they're over 4 months of age, but you go to two, and it says the owner of any unaltered dog must notify the department within 10 days after transfer, including the license and microchip numbers. Shouldn't that clarify that to any unaltered dog breeder older than 4 months? So you're not lumping in every puppy, which wouldn't have the license and the stuff that you're asking for in G2. It seems like an inconsistency. And then with the rabies, that may be a current situation, but I thought it says that you have to have rabies. Rabies shot by the time they're four months and 10 days. I think state law actually said in their fourth month, so you have 30 days. So are we consistent with state law on that? I thought that was another one of the things that we were trying to accomplish here was align it more.
Tell me what page you're on.
They're not numbered.
Yeah.
708.060. Drafted the regulation with me, know what the state law is. I don't have that off the top of my head, but I read it a month or two ago. I thought it said within the fourth month.
I'm sorry, was there a question?
That's my time. I'd really like the opportunity to go through this in detail if that's what I found in the next few minutes. So.
Where have you been?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Did you have a question?
John?
Okay, this is kind of a minor thing, but it could turn into a big thing. Under age penalties, section one, at the very bottom of that, after it says state tax ID number, fighting dog, it says animals left unattended in a motor vehicle. I think that should be extrapolated on just a little bit, because, like, for instance, Kathy has a very expensive special thing on, monitored thing on her van that keeps it climate controlled, so if she's traveling, she could go in and use the bathroom and her dogs are safe. I bought a vehicle specifically because I can walk away from it for 15 minutes and it's still running. According to this, if I have to go to the bathroom real quick and I'm traveling with my dogs, then I'm in trouble. So I think that needs to be a little more, not, because somebody can nail you for that. People do. People get pissed at you and they catch you on that stuff.
Do me a favor and repeat the section you're talking about.
The only other thing I can say is, you're saying that this is a mandatory spay-neuter, but you also say after one violation, it's mandatory to alter the animal. That's mandatory spay-neuter. I mean, things happen. If one of my dogs, that's like my biggest nightmare, is that something happens that my dogs get out and I show them, so I have, like, I don't have anybody unaltered right now. Getting old. But that's, I mean, Nick would get a call at midnight if I found out one of my dogs was at the shelter, and I'd be like, you have to come down here now!
Yeah, he would too. Okay, thanks.
License.
Thanks, John. Anybody else? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to bring it back to the head table. Okay, so we've entertained a lot of comments. You know, we try to, this is a long, revision. We try to think of every possible thing that could possibly go wrong, and you're not going to cover everything under the sun, but we've done a pretty good job of trying to come up with, you know, most of the situations that might come up. This has gone through two subcommittees, and everybody at this head table has been on at least one of the subcommittees, and this last subcommittee, we've been hashing it out since June of last year, is that it was? Yeah, it's a long time. And it's taken a long time to get to this point. And so there was a couple of, you know, comments tonight, true enough, and we'll probably try to answer those maybe after the meeting. But you can't put on paper everything that could possibly happen in this world. What we're trying to do really is we're just trying to save and help as many animals as we can. That's really what we're trying to do here. You know, the abusive owners, they crank them out in the backyard, then they dump the mama, whatever, you know, and that's really what we're trying to go after. We're not going after the legitimate breeder, and everybody thinks that they are, but we're not. I mean, we're trying to help the animals is the bottom line, because we've seen, you know, normally every month I get a lot of photos, a lot of stories about horrific things that have happened. And not just that, but dogfight and everything else. So we want to stop, you know, abuse to animals. And, you know, of course, we're keen on dogs mostly, but we don't like abuse of any animals, horses, cats, anything. We don't want even rooster fighting. We don't want that either. So, you know, so we're doing the best that we can here, and I think we're covering probably 99.9% of the things that could possibly go wrong. Is it foolproof? Probably not, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close. So anyway, like I said, we've had two subcommittees, and so what I'd like to see is there a motion from any of the commissioners?
I make a motion that the commission recommend the revisions of the Title VII Kern County Ordinance to the Board of Supervisors for their consideration and adoption.
Okay, we have a motion on the table. Do we have a second?
Do you have a quorum?
Yes, we do.
We do. Okay. 3 out of 5.
I didn't think you did, but okay.
I know there, like Chair Blackburn said, there is always something that could be adjusted. And it doesn't mean that this is going to be etched in stone. It means it's going to, at least after 4 years plus, move forward and try to get something going here, something done. And the concerns that you have, you're welcome to go when this hits the supervisors' meetings and discuss that. We won't take it personally.
No, we won't at all.
But it's time to push this forward. It's time to get something done. You saw these stats that we got today, which is just so depressing. And there could be reasons for all of it, but yet the bottom line is there's too many litters, too many animals, too many dogs out there, too many cats. So I am going to second Commissioner Christopher. Motion.
Okay, so we've got a motion, we have a second. Take a vote, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion has passed after 4 years. And thank you. It's exhausting, folks, but it took this kind of detail and this kind of effort to give us something of this quality to present to the supervisors. So, like I said, this isn't etched in stone, like Debbie said. It's not. The supervisors, they're going to tweak it the way they want to tweak it, but we want to move it on, and it's time to do that. So, anyway, so we passed it, and I'm glad. We have no new business. And so, at this point, we kind of got through this a little quicker than I thought.
Commissioner Blackburn, may I address the room? May I address the room?
Yes, you may. Please do.
Just wanted to let you guys know a little bit of the procedure, just so we know. No law has been passed or enacted today. I hope everybody now understands that if they didn't already. But Nick and I likely will be assigned as the ones who are put to task of cleaning this up and putting the, we have a way of kind of finalizing this for codification that has to go down. And among those changes, this Board of Supervisors will convene, discuss things with us, and they will have recommendations for us to make, and the public can still submit what they want to submit. If you have issues with something that you want me to know about or Nick to know about, you can reach out to us and tell us all of those things. This process is likely not going to reach an actual vote for a few months now, and there is room to clean up a lot of, the issues that have been raised, and we do listen to, the feedback. So I know one person mentioned they only had a few minutes. Take the full time you need and reach out to me. If anybody wants before we leave, I have business cards I can give them. You can email me or give me a call at your convenience. But I'm around.
No, thank you very much.
For the voting board.
Well, it is going to be, so the motion is passed that is recommending the adoption of the ordinance and consideration of the ordinance. So we will pass that along to them in a board letter via the department, signed by Nick, as soon as, Monday, likely. I don't know. Are you going to do it? Monday is probably when we would let them know.
We'll shoot for Monday.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little aggressive of a timeline, I guess. But so...
It's rather aggressive.
I have a quick question. What limited resources that the county already has in regards to animal welfare and animal services, how do you propose these ordinances are implemented and enforced with the limited resources already, the problems we're already facing in this county?
Yeah.
But I don't know if that might be in this somewhere. I just didn't have
to. No, yeah.
Because I know the ordinance is already existing. County has a really hard time enforcing those as it is, but the new ones, what's the new?
The answer I can give you is that I don't propose anything. I'm just counsel for the commission.
Do you have any idea?
You can speak to me after the meeting and I can try and answer that.
I just thought maybe the group would like to know.
Okay, thanks, Jeremy, for bringing that up. I really appreciate it. Okay, so what I need now is a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor? Okay. We're adjourned till July 19th.